to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello, and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 360. And I've got an awesome guest, my second live interview of the week. We'll go through all of that very, very soon. But for episode 360, I've got none other than the current Future Shock champion, Joe Blazer. Joe, awesome to have you on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Jonas. Thanks so much for having me, dude. It's been a minute. Good to be on the live on the podcast. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
No, you're very, very welcome. And, full transparency, I've been trying to get you on for a while and it's finally happened. And I like to use this word, but it's very fortuitous because you've had an awesome 2024 so far, a fantastic experience over in Philly. And we'll talk about all of that. But of course, we are live. So if anybody at home wants to get in touch with the show, send us your questions, send us your comments. If you're watching live on Facebook, X, Twitch, or YouTube, of course, don't forget to throw us a like, a follow, subscribe, and don't forget to get in touch with the show. But recent guests I've had, and April's been a busy month for Wrestling with Jonas. It kicked off just a few weeks ago with Flash Morgan-Webster joining me live on the show. A fantastic 90-minute conversation with Flash. Go and check that one out on whatever audio platform you listen to your podcast, or of course YouTube. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. The guys from Sovereign Pro, Lou and Shotty, joined me a couple of weeks ago, and more recently, the star and the winner of Josh Must Win, the underdog, Josh Folds, joined me just a couple of days ago. Go and check that one out. A fantastic insight into his involvement in the TV show and how it all transpired behind the scenes. And him eventually winning the show that was named after him, of course. My next guest, busy week for Jonas, in just 2 days' time, Friday the 26th of April, I've got the Kid Without Fear, Danny Black, joining me. But today, it's all about this guy here. It's all about the Future Shock champion, Joe Blazer. But great to have you on the show. And I think you probably only got back from the States maybe a week and a half, less than 2 weeks ago, Joe. Tell us a bit about America, because I think that was possibly your first time certainly wrestling, performing, training over in the States. In a nutshell, tell us about your experience out there.
Oh, I mean, it was life-changing. It was just amazing to be out there. I mean, I got back on Thursday. It was a 30-hour long kind of being awake for me, because obviously we had a layover flight and stuff like that over the night. A little bit tired, but we strapped straight into the car, heading over to Newcastle for MEW the next day. So it was no stopping when we got back. So, but no, it was phenomenal, Jonas. It was really, really good getting to see, you know, WrestleMania and that whole hype around that, and how the fans are just so excited, and just, you know, it's almost that huge community that we have just coming together, and just being a part of that was amazing. I spent a total of like 4 weeks out there, so it was a whole month. So it was good. Based out of Philly for 3 weeks, and then into Florida for a week, which was just amazing. Honestly, so much stuff happened and it went like that. But hey, it was something that, you know, I want to get back to pretty ASAP, if I should say so.
Absolutely, and I think on Friday the 5th you had a match over in Philly, and I think it was this one here for Sanctuary. And it's a little bit of a screen grab from that match, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Now, they describe themselves as the home for theatrical live action art. You'll see the trades of stunt performance, simulated combat, and live event production. I think they're trying to describe professional wrestling, aren't they?
Yeah, in a nutshell, really. Yeah, no, those guys were great. I ended up wrestling a guy called Mateo in the end. He was great. He's based out of a cheeseburger school, the Worldwide Dojo, and they seem to be having amazing talent come out of there, left, right, and center. So, but no, that was great. Everyone there was really nice. They looked after me really well. It's based out of a kind of an old church, but they've made it into a studio, if you will, where they've got, like, you know, going into there, they've got the whole setup. It was really, really cool. And it was just good to be out there and be around new people. And I enjoyed the match. The match was real fun. I had a good time. And again, it's great to work with different people that you probably wouldn't work with every other week, you know, just on the British independent scene, because obviously they're based out of Philadelphia in America. So it was a real fun experience, and it was good to get that under my belt.
Absolutely, a great experience for you, and your first match on US soil. We'll talk about your match over in Florida for CCW very, very soon. But in between all of that, of course, you had 2 days of Mania, didn't you? And you were there for both nights. Now, I don't know whether it was your first ever Mania experience. I did do a WrestleMania in 2018, an experience I'll never, ever forget. But since they're doing it over 2 days, I must say that the kind of East Coast wind certainly caught everybody by surprise, that the chills on night one, a little bit better on night two on the Sunday. But tell us a bit about your overall WrestleMania experience, and what were some of your highlights?
Well, on the second day, I definitely brought Blazer bought his blanket. So, but no, it was super windy. But as I say, like, just being around it, we got to go see Stand and Deliver. Before that, the NXT, and that was amazing, being in the Wells Fargo, just seeing how, you know, so many people just, and the talent that they have there coming up, and just, you know, making this amazing show. And it was a really good kickoff to Mania itself. And it was cold, but I mean, like me, I didn't care, and I'm sure 75,000 other people didn't care. So it was just the atmosphere was incredible, and the whole performance and the whole production there was just next level. And obviously, it was my first Mania going and seeing it live, and it was just life changing. It's a whole nother level, John. It's a whole nother level, and it's something to strive for, 100%.
Absolutely, I've got to get myself back out there, especially if I go to New Orleans, party capital of the world, as far as I'm concerned. a place that Joe Blazer, I'm sure, will appreciate. But here you are, possibly at Access, I'm not entirely sure, at the world, possibly, I think they call it nowadays. And then shortly after that, you were down to Florida, weren't you? And looking good there. It was this show here that you were taking part in. CCW, we had kind of dealings with them a few years ago with Cha-Cha Charlie and various others.
What a boy.
He's a great guy. But here you are making your Florida debut. And like I say, you were full of praise for CCW and the fans and the whole production, really, when you were down there in Florida. Tell us a bit about how that all came about. I can understand getting bookings over in Florida, but in Philly, but getting a booking in Florida is pretty cool also. And CCW, a very experienced, very established group over in that neck of the woods. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so CCW, what a great promotion. I mean, I had a bit of a conversation with the guy who runs it previously beforehand, but they're running all over Florida, left, right and center, weekend in, weekend out. And you know, it seems to be a real buzz around CCW, so you know, you gotta catch them now, because they're putting on, you know, like just last week they had like Matt Riddle there and stuff like that. You know, when I was there, you had Fonz was there, and that was just incredible. The main event was Danny Burch versus a QT Marshall. You know, and you're not going to get two better athletes than them two performing. And it was in a bunkhouse brawl as well. So, hey, I've never seen one of them before, but you bet your bottom dollar that I was right there amongst everyone watching that one. But yeah, no, it was really cool. Took part in Gabe Sikorsky's seminar beforehand as well. Got so much knowledge from that man. He's an incredible person to learn from, and you know, got a lot of stuff from there. Got a lot of great feedback as well. Before we knew it, me and three other guys were opening the show. Some great talent coming through there. You know, some of the guys I was wrestling had only just started a couple of years ago. You know, Diamond Sheik, King Atlas. Those two boys are, you know, be on the lookout for them on the Florida scene. They're going to be something special, you know. The best thing about those guys as well, the whole of CCW, is everybody is so individual, and everyone is so different. So you're going to have so many different flavors. And you know me, John, as I like a lot of flavors. So I feel like I fit in quite nicely there. And it was really cool to open the show and get to kind of grips and get to know the Florida fans.
Let me ask you, speaking of the fans and speaking of your match over in Philly and, of course, over in Florida for CCW, what was the reaction of the fans to Joe Blazer? How did they receive you stateside? What was the reaction when you stepped through the curtain? Like I say, you've got a larger-than-life character and a fantastic presence about you when you're in the ring. Tell us a bit about the fans and how they took to Joe Blazer over there.
Well, someone's from the seasonal residence of Canaveras, Hawaii, Santorini, Greece, by way of Manchester. People think, who is this guy going to come through the curtain? But But no, they were very receptive and very, very appreciative, and also just very open to each individual. And the minute I came out, and you know, you lock eyes with a few different individuals, and you and I let off that confetti cannon. We all know it's business from there, and everyone was along for the ride. So no, it was real good. In both Philly and Florida, the reception was great, and I was super thankful for that. And I was able to just get in there, have fun, and have people come on the ride with me.
Absolutely. And judging by this picture, you were very, very popular. You got over tremendously over with the Florida fans. Let's talk about this, though, skipping back to Philly and running up them steps and your kind of rocky montage, for want of a better word and phrase, running up them steps. Tell us about that. I don't know if you're a Rocky fan. I think a lot of professional wrestlers always kind of use Rocky as a bit of a storyline model. But I'm sure that's something you've always wanted to do, is run up them steps and do the Rocky pose at the top, of course, Joe.
Of course. I mean, you think about doing it in your sleep, you know. But no, I mean, like, being in Philly, and that place is full of different, you know, so much architecture, so much just the scene. And the atmosphere in Philly continuously is so nice, and it's just great. And as soon as I landed, I was like, this place is cool. And what better way to kind of top off an amazing experience and an amazing trip was, you know, you got to do it, man. You got to do it. I mean, if you were there, John, you'd be already halfway up those steps. You know what I mean? So,
well, I'd probably still be halfway, to be honest with you, Joe. I don't think I'd ever get to the top, to be honest with you. My legs don't work the way they used to. But a hell of a trip, and one you want to emulate and get back over to the States again as soon as possible. Any plans on the horizons? Have you made contacts out there that are looking to get you back over? What are the plans stateside?
Oh, well, no doubt you'll see me in Florida again. Don't you worry about that. Had some great conversations with people. You know, both places I worked at were pretty much saying that, you know, come back when you can, let me know, you know, and we'll work something out. So, you know, it's been very, very successful and very, very fun. And, you know, there's no doubt, obviously, you get your first taste of it and just the whole atmosphere throughout Mania Week and then on anyway. But, you know, you want to do that again. So there's no doubt, you know, I'm planning already for trip number two.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before we continue with Joe Blazer, just a quick bit of promotion for our friends over at PWE in their Easter Extravaganza show, their debut show, August the 27th, just around the corner, with matches such as Steve Cairn versus Big Mike Wilde. You've got a triple threat, Luke Basham, Nate Riley and Woody Anderson taking part in their Easter Extravaganza show this coming weekend. Chloe Nightshade versus Violet Knight versus Lydia Cruz will be another fantastic triple threat match. And you can get your tickets over at PWE2024.com. Ashley Dunn will be taking on Matt Adams at Easter Extravaganza this coming Saturday. And it's all headlined, main evented by the unpredictable CJ Rawlins versus the People's Captain, Steve Valentino. April the 27th, this coming Saturday, the Easter Extravaganza, the debut show for PWE. Get yourself down there. Go and visit their socials. Go and click on the link. And PWE2024.com is where you can get your tickets. But back to Joe. And I mentioned that besides your trip over to Philly and Florida, 2024 has been a phenomenal year. And we've got to talk a bit about Future Shock. Of course, you started the year as a two-time champion for Future Shock. And I think a couple of title defenses that really, really stand out to me, Joe, is first of all, I think February the 11th and Kid Lykos. A hell of a match. Kid Lykos exploded on the scene as a single star in 2023, picking up the Progress Men's Championship earlier on this year, and really going from strength to strength. And to be able to defend your championship against Lykos, I know he's no stranger to you, but I think this was a first-time one-on-one encounter, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've wrestled in tag matches in another life. Me and my good pal G Money, we took on a Lykos gym multiple occasions in Progress for the year, and we once had a shot at the tag titles as well, which was a phenomenal thing. But getting to climb to the top of Future Shock and getting to wrestle him, he was actually on a list of mine that people I wanted to have a singles match with for a long time. So getting to tick that off, but then also, you know, getting to face him, being at the top of Future Shock, and you know, giving it everything we've got, and having an all out banger of a match that I've wanted for a long time. It was real special to me, I hope he enjoyed himself as well, because it was real fun. It was real fun.
Absolutely. And more recently, going from Kid Lykos to Big Damo and the Beast of Belfast. I think this is possibly your most recent championship defence, if I'm not mistaken. You came out on the winning end. Wow. I mean, that's possibly, you know, your hardest challenge, your hardest title defence, I would say, since becoming Future Shock champion. But being in there with Big Damo, what's he, every bit of 330, 340 pounds with a wealth of experience and knowledge. What was that like, Joe?
Oh, I mean, and the rest, he was phenomenal. But yeah, you he's a big boy. But he's a phenomenal talent, and getting a chance to work with him, I've always wanted to competition, especially starting this year as champion. You know, and just wanting to get the most out of 2024. I couldn't ask for a better opponent and a better line of opponents. And Big Damo, he's just something else, and a wealth of knowledge. I learned so much from him. But he was a real tough competitor, and I had to put my big boy boots on and give it everything I had for that. So yeah, I mean, came out on top, but still feeling some of the after effects today, believe me.
I'm sure you were very sore after that match in particular, but love Big Damo on this show for sure. And like I say, I'm sure you'd love to work him again. But I think this year marks about 7 years in the business for you, Joe, if I'm not mistaken. And if you look at opponents such as Kid Lykos and Big Damo, what do those matches do for your confidence and do for your mindset as 2024 continues to roll on?
Oh, it's a real big boost. I mean, you know, it's there's been lots of trials and tribulations with injury and stuff like that, and almost identity crisis, if you will. Now I'm a true self, obviously, but yeah, no, this year has been top notch. I'm really excited to strive to do a lot more. There's a lot of things in the woodwork as well, just that I'll be ready to announce when the time's right. Just you wait. But yeah, it's been a real boost. I feel like I've had a strap myself to a rocket ship and just gone as far as I can, because that's all I want to do. I mean, 7 years deep now, I mean, I want to start making the most out of everything that I do. And I mean, I always have, but what I mean is, in like, you know, I want to strive to be the best I can be. I want to do as much as I possibly can, and really kind of stake my claim, especially by the end of this year.
Yeah. And, you know, with all that being said, 7 years into your professional wrestling career, you know, with the various, you know, transformations into what you have now, what we see before us, do you think this is the best version of Joe, or Joe Blazer, dare I say it, that we've ever had?
Oh, 100%. I mean, for myself, like, I feel like this is truly me, you know, and I feel like a lot of the time I was kind of, you know, I wouldn't say pigeonholed, but I was always kind of thought I had to do things a certain way. And, you know, if people weren't laughing at me, I wasn't doing my job right, or I wasn't, you know, being as entertaining. But now, I mean, you know, I can go down to Riot Cabaret and attack people with confetti cannons, or, you know, and then I can be in the main event of Future Shock defending my title. There's a lot more of a wider gap for me to do, you know, so many different things. And this has really opened up a lot of opportunities for me, and a lot of opportunities to really kind of diverse myself within the British scene and then some as a performer.
Yeah, and we've got Tom Scarborough watching us live at home by YouTube. Thank you, Scarbs. There he is. I'd call him a bright up-and-comer, but Blazer has been great for years.
Oh, bless him. Bless you. Love you, Scarbs. Appreciate you, man. Mwah.
100%, and former guest of the show, of course. And I want to bring up a couple of pictures now from For the Love of Wrestling, early March, and your match where Ken Shamrock made an appearance, and it say there's a tag team I didn't know I wanted until just then. Joe Blazer and Ken Shamrock, double ankle lock all day long. You came out the winner, you retained your championship. But For the Love of Wrestling was a fantastic show. But getting to have, you know, Ken Shamrock in your corner, involved in your match, that double ankle lock, that must have been a wild dream come true for you, Joe.
It was a very in the moment. I was like, "Is this actually happening?" For various reasons. I mean, I didn't find out till very late that. I mean, what a surprise it was! It was amazing. I mean, I've had so many great opportunities at the For Love of Wrestling with Future Shock. You know, teaming with Grado, facing Anthony Ogogo, wrestling Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You know, being you know, in the final of of the Rumble match with Pete Dunne. You know, there's so many great, great memories. And I had to miss out due to injury last year, obviously because of my shoulder was hurt. So I missed out on that. And, you know, it sucked. And it was a hard pill to swallow, you know. And I had to kind of think like, right, hopefully this year, when I thought then, I was like, next year, you know, I want to be able to be able to do something incredible there. And hey, I was champion, and you've got the special guest enforcer Ken Shamrock. And about the ankle lock as well, I was speaking to him and he's like, oh, I don't think I can do it, I don't want to do it. And I was like, okay, no worries. And then hey, we were literally there, and he says to me, he goes, let's both give him an ankle lock, brother. And I was like, this is amazing, let's do it. So we're both in the ankle lock, and I'm like, this is one of the best moments of my career. He was so cool, man. Everything that I, you know, when growing up watching him and just being how much of a badass he was everything that and then some. And he was just a cool guy to be around, and he was such a lovely human being. It was an honor to be in the ring with him.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, he was one of my favorite UFC, MMA performers back in the day, right? One of my favorite WWF Intercontinental Champions of all time. Still waiting for him to get his Hall of Fame ring. Right. But he looks fantastic, still in fabulous shape. Still in awesome.
He is jacked to the gills, Jonas, still. You know, he is still... he could definitely still have a mean bench press, no doubt. But yeah, he's still in phenomenal shape. I mean, he was only doing stuff with TNA not too long ago again, right?
Yeah.
So I think brother's still got a lot in him, and you know, hopefully, the way he absolutely decked Damon Lee, and the way Damon was hit the floor with a big thud. I mean, you can still see there's so much left in him, but he was just a phenomenal person, and he was great to be around. So much knowledge as well.
Did he get to pass on any knowledge, guidance, advice, feedback to you during your time with Ken?
So obviously when we were going through different things and speaking to him, he was very, you know, he wanted things to, you know, just be as best as possibly can. But then he also was like, you know who you are, you do your thing. So it was a case of, you know, wanting to be the best version of myself. And he would just elevate everything that we did in that match, you know, and especially with the ankle lock at the end. It was a really good end to the such an amazing show with, you know, the likes of like Rhino and Gangrel on the show as well. So, you know, it was just such a phenomenal day. It was such an awesome day. And everyone that was a part of the show and everyone, you know, all the guests that we had for the show as well were just awesome as well. So
absolutely. And everything we've spoken about up till now, Joe, has just been within the months of March and April.
Crazy, right?
Surely, you know, as a performer, as a professional wrestler, those are the sort of months that you kind of dream about, you have to pinch yourself about. You know, just those 2 months, you've achieved so much just in that, you know, 60 days or so.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, I don't, you know, I'm always kind of like, right, let's crack on, let's keep going, let's keep going, let's keep going. And you never really give yourself the chance to kind of just sit back and go, whoa, you know, look what just happened. So it's really cool. I appreciate that, Jonas, because it's really cool to have someone kind of almost be like, no, look what you've done and look what you've achieved. So yeah, it's been such a great 2024 so far. And I am so excited for the rest of the year, mate, honestly.
Absolutely. And sticking with, I think, March, you had this one here, Comedy Central, Out of Order.
Yeah.
A massive and very pleasant surprise when we saw the social post to say that you were going to be one of the contestants in this particular episode. There you are, getting yourself ready, as only Joe Blazer can. And there you are with some of the hosts. And just remind me of the hosts again. That's...
So that's Rosie Jones, that is there.
Of course, it's Rosie Jones. My apologies. Rosie Jones and some of the other hosts there, including Johnny Vegas.
Yeah.
Who looks like that's it. You really kind of, you know, putting the hurts on him there. But tell us about that then. I mean, I don't know whether you have always had the ambition or the desire to get involved in, you know, TV work. But it was a pleasant surprise to us when we started seeing the social posts come through about your appearance on Out of Order. How did it all come about?
Well, a couple of things really. And I'm a graduate of a theatre and TV anyway, so within university. So that's a little fact for you there, Jonas. But no, it's always been there. I mean, I've done like theatre shows from since I was a kid, you know, and I've done bits of TV work here and there sporadically. But obviously, wrestling was always the main focus for me. And you know, getting back to it. And I think I kind of saw like a bit of an ad, and I kind of I'm always kind of looking through different things, and if there's something worth kind of going, right, here's my CV, here's this, you know, maybe, you know, messaging a few other people, kind of inquiring, that kind of thing. Because, you know, wrestling and obviously, you know, TV, media and everything, you know, everything's so close together. And you forget how much of a scope wrestling has on the media industry, but also just in life in general, you know. So, and lots of things are connected that you don't actually think are connected. So, yeah, no, so I applied for that. Then I spoke to the casting director. She spoke to me. We kind of had a bit back and forth talking about different things. She seemed to like, you know, kind of my personality, what was about and stuff like that. So we spoke a bit more. Then I went down to the BBC studios down in London. Obviously, you know, there's only been one episode out at the moment. You know, there's plenty more where that came from. Just you wait, have a look on Joe Blazer socials. No doubt in the near future there'll be some stuff coming out, because obviously there's a lot more episodes to come out with that. But no, dude, it was an amazing experience. You know, it was great to be around people and so many different people from different worlds as well. I mean, you had comedians, you had social media influencers, you had, you know, people from different lines of work, you know, that just were a part of the show, that were, you know, chosen to be one of Rose's regulars, which we were, you know. And the whole concept of Out of Order is, you know, they have to guess about us, you know, we answered loads and loads of questions that you probably didn't even think about, you know, not thought about for a long time. But obviously, you know, it's something that, you know, really kind of people have to think about and guess, like, what does that person look like? Is that the right kind of match up to their personality, if that makes sense? But yeah, no, it was real fun. Spent a few weekends down there, down in late last year, met some amazing people. And Johnny Vegas, what a boy. I mean, just be on the lookout for an episode in the near future. You'll see something happen, because he got under my skin a little bit, I should say. But but no, I mean, post that.
Headlocked anything to go by.
that was the aftermath, Jonas. But I mean, getting to speak to him on a personal level, I mean, he came into the green room. We literally had like a 35, 40 minute conversation, and we had a good chat about different things, life and, you know, work and just being person to person. And he was such a great guy. And I mean, I've watched him for years, you know, being a comedian. I'm a big fan of Benidorm. I love that show. So, you know, be getting to see him and speak to him was just a phenomenal thing. And yeah, Comedy Central as well. I mean, it's a great platform. It's a great channel, and I've watched that for years. I mean, I've been binge watched Friends for countless hours on that TV show. So on that TV channel, I should say. So getting a chance to be a part of it has been real cool.
There we go. I'm going to bring up this picture again with yourself and the host Rosie Jones. Yep. I kind of had a mind blank when it came to her name earlier. But did you realise, Joe, that she's actually, you know, been in a professional wrestling match herself? Did that ever come up in conversation between the two of you? I think she was featured on one of her shows maybe last year or the year before, where she took part in a professional wrestling match. And,
oh, wow. Well, when she was grabbing my head for the headlock, I didn't think she had time to tell me that. She was too busy wrenching my head. But
there we go. No, well, looks like it could be a future opponent for your future Shock Championship. Who knows? Just putting it out there.
Maybe let's do it.
absolutely. Let's talk a bit about your kind of character, your persona now. And of course, for many years, and like I say, this is your seventh anniversary in the business. But up until last March, you were, you know, Big Guns Joe. We all know that. And then you was out for 5 months, weren't you? And you suffered. Was it a shoulder injury, Joe? Tell us a bit about the injury, how it occurred.
Yeah, so I don't know who that Big Guns Joe person is you're talking about. So obviously it's just one of those things that happens. I mean, I was very fortunate for how long I was doing it, you know, injury free. I felt good. I felt great. And it's just one of those kind of freak accident things what happened. And when I landed, yeah, I ended up having a slight tear in my trap, a joint sprain and a rupture of my delt. So it was a real thing, you know, like that. A lot worse than I thought it was at the time. But thankfully, and obviously one of those things that obviously because I've got such big deltoids, you know, it wasn't as bad. And they actually said that in the emergency room. They said, because you're quite muscly, you know, you've managed to save yourself. And I said, thank you very much, doctor. So but yeah, I mean, it didn't need surgery or anything like that. It was just a lot of rehab, and it was real tough. It was something I never really had to go through before. And, you know, but, you know, you do everything by the book. I have some amazing people around me, like my coach, Nush, and his brother, who Imran here does muscle therapy. I was constantly, you know, obviously with back helping my coach with the, you know, rehab stuff. But then he was Imran, the muscle therapy. He was, you know, helping me with sports massage, but then also with different rehab techniques. And you know, they were both kind of keeping my head on straight. Obviously, because you know, when those things happened, you know, no matter how much lots of momentum or had any momentum, no matter what happens, when it does, you know, injuries do occur, they do give your head a little bit of a wobble, but it, you know, it gave me a chance to kind of really look in the mirror and see who I truly was, but also it gave me a chance to, you know, come back stronger, come back better, but then also, you know, redefine who I was and, you know, attack the British scene, attack wrestling in a whole new light. So,
yeah, well, tell us about that. Tell us about the origins of the Joe Blazer character, because, of course, when he burst onto the scene from July last year, this kind of over-the-top superhero, Dodgeball-esque, White Goodman-esque, I should say, from Dodgeball character, or certainly that's who he resembled. You know, it was another one of them wow moments, you know, that we kind of didn't quite expect, but was absolutely fantastic when it did burst onto our scene and onto our socials. But tell us, you know, obviously quite a big transition from what you were doing before, and you've got this acting background, now you've got this larger-than-life character, and this is huge presence on our socials and on our screen and in our wrestling rings. Tell us about the origins and the kind of mindset and the thought process behind what was Joe Blazer back last July.
Yeah, so like I said in the video, though, I was like, we're expecting something else, because I guarantee so many people thought I was going to go one way with what I was doing. But hey, you know, I'm all for surprises, and that's exactly what I did. No, you're right with the Dodgeball and the White Goodman. You know, I'm a huge fan of American, you know, especially early 2000s kind of comedies and stuff like that. And just, I think the larger than life characteristics that a lot of, especially with White Goodman, but people like, you know, Ron Burgundy from Anchorman and things like that, that just, Will Ferrell in general and Adam Sandler and, you know, all those kind of people that I've grown up watching and just absolutely enjoying. I kind of took a little bit of that from every one of them, really. And obviously, you know, me being who I was, you know, I've always kind of, you always want to look for that person who's going to be, you know, that's always wanting to do good and always wanted to be the right, do the right thing and almost be like that superhero. Like I'm a big superhero fan anyway, you know. Just a side note, the Lego Batman movie I watched for the first time, incredible, hilarious. I don't know why I'm telling you, but it was amazing. Anyway, but again, these little things that I thought, you know, things that I, as a person, wanted to strive to be, and, you know, meshing them all together, having that larger than life kind of cheeky personality. And, you know, people might think, hey, you know, what is he playing at? Like he's being a bit, you know, people might see it as being the bad guy there, but hey, I'm always going to do the right thing. But, really what it was, you know, as I feel like, there was a ceiling with Big Guns Joe, if I'm honest. I feel like I'd done incredible things with Big Guns Joe. I feel like he, you know, took me so far. And like I said in the post when I posted about them, you know, you could only take me so far, and he did. But, you know, trying to be, you know, taken a bit more seriously, trying to be a main event contender, trying to, you know, win championships that have kind of eluded me for a long, long time. I tried to do that in a certain way, and it just didn't hit the mark. And that's okay, because, you know, it's one of those things, you know, we try, we fail, and that's just life. And I feel like, you know, having this new character and being that larger than life personality that is a bit cheeky, but will always do the right thing in the end is really, truly who Joe is, you know, and turn that up to 11. It's just a, you know, just a byproduct of that, you know, who'd have thought that Joe's a fashionable kind of, you know, cheeky little boy but always, you know, wants to do the best he can and be the best person he can be. And it seems to have worked, you know, because I'm current, you know, the current Future Shot champion, current Burnley Pro champion, you know, and I've been doing bigger things throughout my career, just this year and obviously late last year as well. And it's just been a wild ride so far, mate. And I'm, you know, I think for me, and I think we spoke a bit off air anyway, just the diversity that I think I'm able to bring now within this, you know, like I can go down to Riot Cabaret, which is an amazing promotion. Like I said, like attack people with confetti cannons and really kind of bring out the essence of who the Joe Blazer is with the, you know, the White Goodman kind of little annotations there and stuff like that. But then also go and defend against people like your kid Lycos and your big demos at Future Shock and be that viable champion that the Future Shock fans truly, truly deserve, you know. So it's been I've got a lot more diverse, and I feel like for myself, it's been the most kind of satisfying and, you know, nourishing kind of time in my career that I'm able to get so much from as a performer, and Joe Blaze has been the person to take me there, you know. So hey, lots more to come where that came from.
Absolutely. Let's bring up some pictures because for anybody that's not too familiar
Who's that
with
handsome
the
man?
Joe Blazer character oh, of last year, what a good looking chap. And shout out to Elliot 93 as well. Some awesome artwork.
What a boy, yes.
And like I say, great gear, great jacket. And there you are having won the Future Shock Championship first time round. But it all went a bit south just a few minutes later. I'll take the picture off screen. But on better times, that's when you won the championship back off of Ridgeway and you managed to hold it to this very day. But you mentioned it, you know, the Joe Blazer character was definitely a bigger, larger than life persona that you could really get your teeth into and could really do a lot more things with and have a lot more fun with as well. That had, so much, a dynamic quality to it. And you also seem to be having a lot more fun with this character than ever before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even like on social media, like, I've always trying to speak to the people and always kind of like see what works, what doesn't, you know, you've always got to kind of be on the ball. But at the same time, you know, like, I think the scope for content for myself and just the amount of like fun I'm having making this content, you know, things that I would have thought, would that work? Does that work for me? But, you know, having you know, something really daft on my social media, but then having a promo talking about how, you know, how I'm going to kick somebody's ass, you know, and they both stand up them by individuals, you know what I mean? And it's just, oh, that's Joe Blazer doing what he does. So it's one of those things that, you know, for content wise and just for just being in matches and being able to just think outside the box and do so much stuff, you know, it's opened up a world of possibilities for myself. And, you know, it's only new beginnings as well. You know, I'm only, you know, I think it was last July when I debuted Joe Blazer. And so we're not even a year deep yet. So, yeah. You know, there's plenty more to come from, and I'm so excited to see what 5 years, 10 years down the line to see where Joe Blazer's gone to and what he's become, because, you know, there's ever evolving, the business is ever evolving, and I'm Joe Blazer's on the ride for it as well, you know. So I'm just super excited to see what happens for the Blazer, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And more recently we have seen maybe a slightly more toned down version of Joe Blazer, maybe a slightly more, I don't know, a slightly more serious Joe Blazer, dare I say it. But like I say, the gear has switched up a little bit, the glasses.
Look at those abs. Look at them.
The abs, the jacket, the top. It's all working, it's all popping, and it's all kind of working. But so what was the kind of thought process and the decision behind maybe toning it down and bringing it down a little bit and maybe showing a bit more of a serious side to Joe Blazer?
I wouldn't necessarily say in that turning it down, really, John, as it's just a different aspect of who I am, you know. Like, I think being put into the position that I am now, which is, you know, it's been such a great, great time. I think it's just been needed to, you know, there's so much that you can do on one side of things, a part of your personality, but the other side, you know, I'm still in this to win championships. I'm still in this to climb the ladder. I'm still in this to make a name for myself. I'm still in this to prove that Joe Blazer isn't to be messed with. You know, yeah, I might have a silly laugh, I might get under people's skin, but you better believe I'm going to, you know, tie you up in knots, I'm going to throw you around, and I'm still going to beat you and, you know, become champion here, there and everywhere. I'm still going to climb that ladder, and I'm still going to make the most out of everything that I do. You know, it's not like Big Guns Joe. I mean, he was great. He was funny. He, you know, and I was doing things with that, and I was, you know, I got to wrestle the Hurricane. I got to wrestle, you know, different people and stuff, and it was great. But he just wasn't getting the job done, Jonas.
I was going to say, you mentioned that Joe Blazer, you know, really, really resonates, especially through social media posts, but with the fans in the audiences that you perform in front of, young or old, all ages, all groups, you know, they really, really do resonate to Joe Blazer and just that kind of that energy, that presence, you know, the colourful, larger-than-life personality when you burst through the curtains. I think it's kind of made you more popular with a live audience as well, Joe.
I appreciate that. And I just think that's something that's been inside me for so long. You know, I always kind of thought I had to do things a certain way, and it's been bubbling up for a long time. And especially with the injury as well, being out for 5-6 months, it was all building up and building up. And I think this is just a culmination of like just everything just exploding out there. And the confetti cannon says it for itself. You know, I think that's just an extension of me just leaving it all out there and giving everything that I've got. And, you know, I feel like I'm quite an energetic person. I'm quite, you know, if I do say so myself, I'm quite... handsome but bubbly personality, you know, and there's I'm always, you know, energetic and excited to do things, and I think that I'm able to fully just give that to my performance, to the fans, and I feel like they've really picked up on that. And I feel like, hey, and if they want to do a bit of a dance as well and clap along to my song, hey, more power to them. It's just something that I feel I'm finally able to open and just give everything to, you know.
Absolutely. Let's take a little bit of a trip down memory lane. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, 7 years deep into your wrestling career. But 2017 was when you first broke in. Give us a bit of insight into what sort of performer you were, mostly around the Northwest. Then you hadn't quite branched out as much as you did over the subsequent years. But first of all, how did you break into the business and what sort of performer were you back in 2017?
Well, you know, I mean, I started at Grand Pro Wrestling, great place to learn and perform. And they kind of really kind of, you know, tough love, I would say. They really molded me into the person who I was searching to be at the ripe young age of 19. You know, that's when I first kind of stepped through the Grand Pro's doors, and they kind of nurtured me. They looked after me, and they kind of gave me the initial tools that I needed to really kind of pursue this. Because, you know, I may look good, Jonas, but I'm only 5'6". So, you know, it's one of those things that I needed those tools to really kind of stand out and really kind of to give it everything I had and be taken, you know, wouldn't even necessarily say seriously, but taken, you know, people go, oh, who is this? He seems interesting. And, you know, the fundamentals that they gave me everything I needed to do to really kind of step out there and put my foot on the gas to start my journey. But yeah, I started Grand Pro, Big Guns Joe started there as a young angry man, which, you know, I probably was at the time as well, you know, because I just wanted to find who I was and find my, you know, my foot and find something that I could really, truly, you know, belong to. And I feel like character-wise, I feel like I was given everything to that, and I feel like they helped me kind of manage to get to that point where I needed to be, you know. And it was just, you know, giving that kind of funny outlet that I kind of wanted to have, you know. I find, you know, I'm very kind of witty, if I do say so myself, and kind of, you know, in day-to-day life, and I kind of like to find the funny side of everything, and I feel like that's where I was able to kind of really do that at the start, you know, in a bright yellow singlet. But but hey, you know what I mean, I was doing bits there in the Northwest, started at WrestlePro Pinfall, started at Future Shock as well, and I feel like it was a really good thing, because, you know, I had things like the Little Man Challenge or Future Shock, where, you know, it was like kind of my first prominent position where I could start to face these people like a Zach Gibson, you know, and multiple other people that I was able to kind of rack up and do, you know. And, you know, being part of the Bad Lads at GPW, you know, being these two like 6 foot something lads, and you got me in the middle directing traffic, you know. It was a lot of kind of enjoyable moments and really kind of teachable moments within like different situations within performing and within the business itself. So when, you know, and started to do things around the Northwest scene, you know, started training with like Sam Bailey, Chris Ridgway, people like that, and really kind of honing my craft and really kind of getting to it. But, you know, like my first years were really cool. I got to, you know, start to do the camps as well, you know, really learn how to do things and really be the performer that I wanted to be. And I feel like Joe Blazer now is just a culmination of everything that I've learned so much. It's been a real journey, and it's almost feel like everything happens for a reason, Jonas, and, you know, you put the positive energies out there, and you kind of make sure that, you know, you're continuously positive about things no matter what, because you're going to have ups and downs no matter what, be it injuries, be it, you know, opportunities that you thought, you know, you were going to smash that didn't necessarily happen, or, you know, things coming out of nowhere that are just an amazing opportunity, and, you know, things really clicking. And I feel like we're on that journey now. We're on that train, Jones. Are you jumping on board? Are we getting on that train?
Absolutely. I'm there all day long. I've got a first class ticket. Don't you worry about that. But I want to talk about 2018 and 2019, because those were really kind of two breakout years for you, Joe. And, you know, 2017, you kind of concentrated around the Northwest, like, say, GPW and one or two other places. But 2018 and 2019, you really started branching out all over the country, and you became this kind of hot new prospect on the UK scene, this breakout star, for want of a better word. And obviously having 1 year under your belt, 2 years under your belt going into 2019. And, you know, that must have been a lot of fun. I think the UK scene was still in a bit of a boom period around those 2 years. But you in particular was absolutely everywhere. And I think there was a lot of buzz about you over them 2 years in particular, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me and a lot of the lads that I used to kind of be around, like, you know, young guns, your kid like us too, people like that, that we would always just travel together all the time and just train and train and train. And I think I was very fortunate at the time to just give this, and I mean, obviously give it everything no matter what, but, you know, I was still quite young where I could just, you know, work on the weekends or work like a job and just go, you know what, like that'll be able to pay for petrol and let's just go. So it was almost like a near enough a 24/7 pretty much a 24/7 thing, and it was real fun. And just I think the just grafting and really kind of homing in on like what this takes to make it, you know, and that never changes, John, is it never changes. But I mean, I think that's really where my young self was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, if you really want to do this, this is what it takes. And I feel like, you know, training with people like the Grizzled Young Veteran, Sam Bailey, Nathan Cruz, Chris Ridgway, you know, having people around me that I truly, truly adore, you know, and having people that that I really respect, like Chris Sharp and people like that, even Tom Scarborough as well, you know, people that, you know, meeting new people and making those connections, you know, first meeting like Kid Lycos and Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster and all these people that, you know, that have made this scene what it is today, and without them it wouldn't be what it is, you know. So yeah. And getting just to learn and learn and learn and learn from all these different people was truly, I think, a testament to why I was able to do what I was able to do in those years, because there was always a running joke that, and a lot of fans picked up on it, that no matter what, even if I was on the show or not on the show, if you were at a show, you Joe was there, you know.
Absolutely.
No matter what I was doing, you know, I feel like I really made sure that that was going to be the thing. And I think a lot of people took notice, Jonas. And I feel like I was very lucky and very fortunate for people to go, oh, you know what? We'll give Joe a shot. We'll give him a shot. Let's see what happens. And I feel like that's what happened. And, you know, I started popping up in, you know, different countries a little bit as the years started to progress. I started to pop up, you know, up in Scotland, down in London, in Wales, everywhere, you know, just because this is truly, I had to just make sure I did that in order to really give this everything it deserved that I needed to give it, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, you know, yeah. There's no point doing it. You know, for me personally, there was no point, you know, just kind of going, oh, I guess I'll just do this every now and again. No, it needed to be a 24/7 thing. And that remains, John, as it does.
Absolutely. And I think that graft and that hard work, especially over them couple of years, got you noticed by Progress as well. During their behind closed doors, their no fan shows during the Peckham era, you were very much a part of those tapings. First of all, how did you kind of get on the Progress roster for them Peckham shows, them Peckham tapings? Because I don't think you'd performed on a Progress show prior, but there you were, you had a heavy presence on a lot of these tapings through 2021 in particular, behind closed doors at the Peckham Theatre. How did you kind of get onto their radar, and what did it mean to you to be a part of them shows?
Oh, it was everything, you know, like seeing so many people around me just, you know, using that platform and being a part of that, of a Progress to, you know, and then just blowing up and just giving everything they got on these performances. And the shows were just phenomenal anyway, you know. I'd always gone on crude shows, especially like in Manchester at the Ritz and stuff like that, and being around all those different people, these elite performers, you know, that, because, you know, there's no matter what, and it hasn't changed, Progress is always going to give you the best, you know. And seeing that, you know, being around it and stepping up my game, being around it, and, you know, seeing what they're doing now and what they've done in America and their collaboration with that's going to happen with Noah, so much stuff, you know, it's always going to, they give the best no matter what. And yeah, I think, you know, there was a, you know, I had a couple of different conversations with different people, and there was a spot open for Natural Progression Series, and you know, there was one thing led to another, and yeah, I managed to secure my spot in the MPS, and it was life-changing, honestly. No matter, fans there or not, you know, the Progress fans are incredible, and they always gave me a great reception, and they were always behind me no matter what. But even though just being a part of it and seeing the production and seeing how much people cared and really wanted to, you know, make these no fan shows something special, and how much people were willing to sacrifice for this, you know, and the precautions that were taken, it was next level, Jonas. And, you know, being a part of MPS, something that I was striving towards at that point anyway, was just the nice little, you know, icing on the cake for me there, mate. And it was a pretty tasty cake. So, you know, yeah. And it was just one of those things that, and that happened, and they were, you know, they seemed to like it. They put me with Gene, the Big Money Gundogs. What a time that was, You know, we had great tag matches against Sunshine Machine, Greedy Souls, you know, getting to work with so many different people there.
Yeah, the nice little series of matches with Lycos Gym as well.
100%.
You mentioned the championship match.
Say,
yeah.
The dog kennel match with, and that'll always be a funny one, you know. Me and Gene came out with the original Progress titles, the big shield, and that was a great moment for me. And just being able to bounce off him was and it was great for my career at the time as well. That's what I definitely needed, because it was something, you know, it was that side of the performance that I needed. But then having that work rate and that kind of thing to bounce off people like Austin was great. And it was just good to see how far we'd all come. And we were really excited for the future. And, it, you know, hey, it's they're all doing great things, you know, Lycos too, G-Money, Progress Champion, Kid Lycos. I mean, what can you say? Everyone's doing Absolutely. Some great things, and I'm just trying to do my thing as well, you know, trying to make waves and do what I can. And, you know, hopefully when it comes to it, and it's going to come to it, you know, I'll end up facing those guys once again. It's going to be a really good moment to have at that time, so...
I totally believe it. Let's skip forward a little bit. And I think one of the places where I kind of knew the most from, certainly from 2021, 2022 onwards, was, of course, Wrestle Carnival.
Yep.
I remember shortly after they crowned their first ever champion, Charles Crowley, I believe you was his first ever championship opponent over in Germany in a yes. WXW ring, March yes. 2022. I'm sure you have fond memories of that, but I'd say a great experience, a fantastic opportunity to wrestle over in Germany, which may have been your first excursion over there, certainly in the WXW ring. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a great moment. I mean, Crowley's great, isn't he? He's just a phenomenal talent. He's so creative and so just out there, and that's what you need to be. And that's, you know, he's really truly found himself with these last few years. And I'm watching from afar, seeing what he's going to do and what he's going to create and where he's going to go, because, you no doubt, the sky's the limit for Crowley. But yeah, I mean, you know, Crown Carnival was great. It started as I was under a mask, being you know, trying to get picked out of the audience. I don't necessarily want to remember that, but hey,
no.
humble beginnings, Jonas. Humble beginnings. And from there, you know, I won the gauntlet match. The odds were stacked against me. Gary's such a great guy. He gave me the world there. To top it off, he was like, fancy coming over to Germany to wrestle for the Wrestle Carnival title. And I was like, of course. And that the 16 carat is a life-changing event, you know, being around that and being able to stay for the few days that over there, as well as wrestling within the showcase and representing not only Carnival, but representing British wrestling. It was great. And, you know, wrestling Crowley, it was great. You know, we always say, you know, every time we want to better ourselves and want to make sure it's more entertaining, more fun. And I think, and I'm not being funny, that's a match that I want right now, you know, especially being Joe Blazer. Crowley's, you know, he's not been in there with Joe Blazer. So I think that needs to happen very, very soon, because I think that'll be something that people have not seen yet. And then that match will be something spectacular. And you know, it will be something that's something that nobody's seen yet. So, but that experience was great, John. As it was great to be within the German, not only the German scene, but the WXW fans were just incredible as well. They're very, very loyal to WXW, it seems, and they're very, very understanding. But not only that, they're very giving and they want to give you everything that they've got. They want to be passionate. They are passionate. They want to just enjoy it and be on that ride with you. And
they know their wrestling as well.
Oh, 100%. Very smart people, you know, and being around there and getting to meet so many different people and, you know, getting to have conversations with people like Jonathan Gresham, people like Oscar and people like that, who's doing great things in RevPro right now. You know, people that people hadn't seen on not only just on WXW, but then now they're doing popping off everywhere. You know, people like Ninja Mac, who's now in Noah. You know, it's a great place, and it's got lots and lots of talent. So you know that I want to get there, back there ASAP, Jonas. You know,
absolutely. And let's talk about your next Future Shock Championship defense.
Let's
now
do it.
If we think back to when you fought Big Damo, I understand that your next challenger should have been your opponent back then. And it all got switched on his head, but we haven't got long to wait, have we? This show here for Future Shock, May the 5th, live pro wrestling with Future Shock. Fantastic artwork, but what about this here? Joe Blazer versus Scott Oberman, putting your championship on the line. Now, this guy's been a bit of a thorn in your side for a while, I understand. We haven't got too long to wait. That's going to be an awesome main event. He takes himself very, very seriously, doesn't he, Scott? But what can we expect from that one?
Yeah, he's a very grumpy boy, isn't he?
I don't think
I've ever seen him smile, and that might be because he supports Everton. I don't know, but but hey, yeah. I mean, I've known Scott Oberman for a long, long time. I've wrestled him in the past. You know, we've done Britannia Wrestling Carnivals way back when we were first starting in the business and stuff like that. But I feel like he's been he's the real thing now. You know, he is the real thing, and you know why I know that? Because he keeps saying it. Oh, but he is a very, very talented performer. And, you know, if there's a chance of me slipping up in any way, he's going to find that and he's going to attack that, you know. He's a very, very skilled performer. So, you know, he was a little bit of a coward boy, you know, not resenting his opportunity the last show. But obviously, yeah. I got to wrestle Big Damo, so, you know, joke's on him. But, hey, if he wants to bide his time, if he wants to try and scout me out, if he wants to do whatever he wants to do, so be it. You know, I've been champion for nearly a year now. You know, I won the last champion. I won the championship back in August. So it's been a long time. So I'm ready for anyone. Like I said, with the Kid Lycoses, with the Big Damos, you know, it's going to be a real fun one for me anyway. But I mean, yeah. He can bring it. He can give it all he's got. He can try and be an aggressive lad. He can try and swing everything, forearms. He can try and, you know, stamp on my head. He can do what he wants. But, you know, the Blaze Man's going to win. So bring it on, 100%, Scott.
100%. It's going to happen. And we're going to ask you for your socials very, very soon, Joe. But before we do, just a quick reminder. In 2 days' time, wraps up this very busy week and very busy month for Jonas, the Kid Without Fear. Danny Black will be joining me live Friday evening, 8 p.m. UK time. Hit that like, follow and subscribe button. Make sure that you're joining us. It's coming Friday at 8 o'clock. But Joe, before we say our farewells, this has been an awesome conversation, episode 360 of Wrestling with Jonas. Where can my fans, friends, followers, listeners, viewers, reach out, say hi, learn more about Joe Blazer. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Jonas, mate. It's been great to see you. It's been a minute since we've seen each other and had to have a 100%. Proper conversation, so it's been great to catch up with you, mate. But yeah, if you want to see what Joe Blazer's doing, you know, and where he's going to pop up, well, follow me on Twitter and on Instagram, at Joe Blazer. If you want to book Joe Blazer, you know, you want to go to a bit of a Gmail account, you want to go to joeblazer@gmail.com. But yeah, follow me, drop me a message, say hello, engage with me, you know. It's been real fun so far, and I'm having so much fun making the content that I am. So be on the lookout, guys. There's going to be some pretty cool things coming soon.
Absolutely. I know this is your USA graphic,
yep.
But some contact details there as well. And once again, shout out to Elliot Marriott, Elliot93, for all the awesome artwork. Absolutely. But before we go, if you've got any final words from Joe Blazer to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas for your followers, family members, opponents, foes at home, who knows, what would be the final parting words from Joe Blazer to sign us off?
Well, Jonas, I've been on a hell of a 2024 run, and it's lots and lots more to come. So, hey, if you want to step in the ring with me, may the Blaze Man win.
There we go. Joe Blazer, you've been an awesome guest. Thank you so much, and see you at the shows, my friend.
Thanks, Jonas. See you soon.